And we are off and running on a manic Monday edition of Let's Talk right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. It's Jeff, it's Scott, and hey, it could be you. 814-954-7266 if you want to join the big show this morning. And boy, do we have a lot of ground to cover here on this Monday.
I'm going to say manic is a good word.
Yes.
This has turned into a manic Monday, unfortunately. Yeah, we have an open line program today. We'll check out sports stuff as we always do in the next segment. Plenty of that. Plenty of news. Oh my goodness. We will handle some of the heavier stuff a little later on. How about that? And maybe take your calls if you want to, you know, chime in on the situation at State College High School, which I can imagine this morning, well, not this morning, today, is going to be a little manic over there because of the new. First off, now we had a guest 2 weeks ago from PennDOT talking about the new Route 322 project, Bowlesburg to Potter's Mills. If you missed that interview, go to our website, 987thefox.info. Find the Let's Talk section, the interviews page. Again, we've got, oh my gosh, February, March. We got 2.5 months of stuff there. Just kind of scroll down to you see the PennDOT interview, and if you want to listen to that, that was Eric Murniak, who's from the Clearfield office, which covers this area. Now, when we talked with Eric a couple of weeks ago, we said, okay, we know there's some big public meeting coming up. At that time, he didn't have any details to give us. Well, now we have some details, all right? It's not this month. It'll be coming up next month on May 8th. And May 8th is a Thursday. From 4 to 8 p.m., PennDOT is going to have a public meeting, info session, whatever you want to call it. It's going to be at the Wyndham Garden, which is, for those of us that can remember, it's the Elks Club. All right? It's the hotel there at the Elks Club, where the Elks Club golf course is, except now it has a different name. So May 8th from 4 to 8 p.m. So this is sort of an afternoon-evening event. They'll have all sorts of maps and materials and information and people to talk and the whole bit, talking about, you know, okay, where is this road eventually, allegedly, going to go? According to one version, on May 5th, which is a Monday, they will be, PennDOT will start putting some information online about the project. So if you want to get some info before May 8th, you'll be able to do that. But the actual public meeting is on May 8th. If you want to, I know some of you have already probably circled that date on your calendar, especially if you're in one of the, we'll call it, affected areas. May 8th from 4 to 8 p.m. at the Wyndham Gardens State College, which is actually Bullsburg. Gotta love names. Wow. It's actually Bullsburg. It's the Elks Club, all right, where the hotel is there at the Elks Club. So, you know, check that out. Obviously, a lot of people are definitely going to be following that, okay? Now, last week, we had a guest on, a former congressman, talking about civics today. You know, are we teaching kids the basics about, you know, citizenship and how our government works and all that stuff? Once again, if you missed that interview, lucky you, we have our website, 987thefox.info, the Let's Talk page. Go to the interview section. You won't have to scroll down very far to find out that particular interview. What turns out, now I did not know this until I saw it, I guess over the weekend, that there is a National Civics Bee competition in the neighborhood, and this is tomorrow. Now, this is going to involve middle school students. So this is, it's a bee, it's a competition. It's going to be at the Eric Barron Innovation Hub. Now, that's a Penn State building in downtown State College. It's going to be tomorrow morning, starting at 10 a.m., it says here, I'm taking this from a statecollege.com story, a live interactive event with 11 middle school students from school districts across Center County. So I'm assuming, doesn't say it here, doesn't say who's competing, but I'm assuming all the area schools have at least a kid involved in this thing. And so it's a competition. Interesting, it's middle school students. All right, that's fine. And then it's a competition, so whoever wins will then go to a state competition, and if they somehow win there, this is the National Civics Bee. So there is a national competition. Cool. Okay. I'm trying to remember. Now, granted, folks, it's been a long time since I was in middle school. All right, that was a long time ago.
Oh, those were the days.
Oh, those were the days. Not nearly as manic, all right?
Mm-hmm.
But spelling bee. To be frank, I was a good speller when I was in school. And the spelling bee is sort of a middle school thing. As I recall, it was like 6th grade, 7th grade, maybe 8th grade. Were the kids involved in the spelling bee.
We also had a Frank who was a pretty good speller.
Who?
Shout out to you, Frank.
Frank?
Yeah, you said to be Frank.
Oh, to be Frank.
Oh, to be Frank.
Oh, you wish you were Frank, buddy boy.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, we both wish we were Frank, just not here. But the spelling bee I'm familiar with. The civics bee, I'll be honest, I didn't even know they had this thing. So, anyway, if you want to, you can attend this gig tomorrow morning. Again, it starts at 10 a.m. in downtown State College. They do like you to register. And the CBICC, Chamber of Business and Industry of Center County, is sort of kind of leading this parade, if you will, today. So if you go to the CBICC website, I think there's a link there where you can register for this event tomorrow. Again, it's free. I mean, anybody can go. I think they want people to register to make sure they have enough seating or something, okay? Let's see. If they win tomorrow, the first place student tomorrow will get $500.
Hey.
That's not bad.
Now we're getting somewhere.
Second place, $250. Third place will get $125. Now, again, they have 11 kids apparently involved. They will narrow that down to the five finalists. Apparently, part of this is they had to write an essay. Earlier this year, they wrote an essay in order to get into the competition. So they have to, I guess, talk about their essay and why it's important and all that sort of thing. All right, that's pretty cool. And if they can get to the national finals, that will be down in Washington, D.C. sometime this fall. Whoa. Prize is worth at least $50,000.
Now we're talking.
Oh, that's a lot of hot dogs and medicated drinks, all right? Boy, whoo, yikes. So hopefully these kids are
especially on
are boning up on civics and democracy and government and all that other fun stuff. So holy mackerel, that's really good. So we'll see. Hopefully some intrepid reporter will be there tomorrow and report on, like, who won and all that stuff. I'll be looking forward to seeing that. That'll be pretty interesting. All right, how about another meeting? Boy, we're full of meetings today. Holy mackerel.
A lot of meetings.
If you own, I guess, let's see if I get this right. If you own an electric vehicle, or I suppose if you're just maybe interested in owning an electric vehicle.
Maybe.
The, really?
Maybe.
Come on, I know you. I don't know. The Center County Metropolitan Planning Organization is having a series of upcoming, okay, here we go, listening workshops. Okay, I love these fancy titles.
Yeah.
Listening, so they're going to hear from people or something, I guess. This is aimed at electric vehicle, either owners or interest. And I guess the purpose, they have three events upcoming. The mm-hmm. purpose of these events are they want to build out some infrastructure on where you'd be able to charge up an electric vehicle. Because still, there aren't that many places out there where you can do that, like a public place, all right, not your garage or something, a public place where you can pull in, plug in, you know, all that sort of stuff. Let's see. So the workshop, I'm reading from a release here. The workshops are going to provide resources on electric vehicles. How many people are interested in this, like EVs, and where could we put charging spots, more charging spots? All right, we've got plenty of gas stations around the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
Where are these EVs going to, or these EV chargers going to go? Okay, well, the first one of these is on Wednesday, this Wednesday, at CPI in Pleasant Gap. So if you're really into this stuff, or maybe you're just thinking, you know, I might want to buy one of those electric vehicles sometime. Well, it's important to know, okay, where can I charge up this thing besides just my garage? I assume, now I don't own an EV, Scott here, I don't. I assume everybody that owns an EV, and if you have a garage, you plug it in at night so it recharges and all this sort of thing. I mean, if I had one, that's what I would do. All right, you would get one of these, what is it, high-speed charging gadgets or wiring or whatever it is, so that you can, you know, reload, if you will, every night. Well, the first one of these is going to be at CPI in Pleasant Gap on Wednesday from 4 to 6 p.m. So good evening time that maybe, or late afternoon time that a lot of people could go. Very quickly, there's another one that's going to be on April 30th. That will be at the Holiday Inn Express, which is, that's Patton Township out near, well, the former Outback. It's not, Outback restaurant's closed now, but out that way, Olive Garden, near the Olive Garden restaurant. There it is. That day it's going to be from 1 to 3 p.m., so that's going to be in the middle of the afternoon. And then they're going to have one over in Phillipsburg on May 7th at the Senclear offices in Phillipsburg. 4 to 6 p.m. So if you're interested in electric vehicles and all that sort of thing, that sounds like something maybe you would want to, you know, check out. So there we go. All right, now, I got one here now for the ladies. Ladies, you're just going to have to play along here for a few minutes.
Hello,
okay?
Ladies.
Is your wife?
Huh?
Your wife know about this?
I was
this?
Just saying good morning.
All right. Popular Science Magazine, which is, they cover all sorts of cool stuff. All right. This is kind of cool stuff, although it's a guy thing. Okay? It's
that's
a guy thing.
It's a little misogynistic.
Now, I'm just this is a story that just came out the other day. I'm just going to read the headline.
All right.
My partner, I know he's a little different. He'll like this one. Okay?
Huh.
The
I'll
headline is new urinal designs use physics to prevent pee splashback.
Hey, hey, hey! A grateful nation applauds.
That's the,
it is about dang time.
That's the headline. Okay. I mean, guys, all right, show of hands wherever you are. If you're in your car, if you're at home, or you're at work, or whatever, maybe you're out for a walk and you're streaming us today, okay, just put up your hand, all right? if you've ever been splashed
in
a public restroom. Come on, put your hand up.
Oh, it's awful.
Mr. Ironhead, your hand
is
not
awful.
You got to put your hand up, all right? Oh. I see a lot of hands out there in Radio Land. Come on, let's be honest. It's probably happened to all of us. Yes? The ladies are snickering right now, but that's okay. We'll play along. I mean, have you ever really thought about how urinals are designed? There is a history. Apparently, this goes back. I did not know this.
There's a urinal history.
Yes, this goes back to 1917.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Now, interestingly enough, that was World War I.
It was indeed.
A Frenchman named Marcel Duchamp invented the first what we would call a urinal.
Thank you.
And he gave it a name. Because you got to name, like, apparently in France, you have to name things.
Well, yeah.
He called it La Fontaine.
Oh, yes.
The fountain. All right. And I'm trying now. Of course, this is a radio show, so that's the problem, all right?
Wait, this is a what?
This is a radio show.
You've got to be kidding.
No, it's true. So I can show my friend here the picture, but folks, you're going to have to play along. All right. Look at the one on the far left. That's La Fontaine, which looks like a standard urinal.
Sure does.
Doesn't it? Okay. Now, the second one from the left is the one I'm most used to seeing in most public restrooms.
Yeah, I'd say that's the most common.
And apparently that's American-made, which means it doesn't have a name. It's just called Contemporary Commercial. What a terrible name. All right, we've got to come up with a better name. So the idea is, not only, this is weird, not only do guys kind of splash themselves.
Oh, man.
I mean, if you really have to go and it's a bit more like a fire hose, that can be really bad, okay? I mean, I have done that, well, I was going to say a time or two, which is a lie. I've done it too many times. And if I'm in my, like, for instance, in my old job and stuff that I used to do, occasionally I would need to use the restroom. So I use the restroom, and then I look down. I'm like, oh, for goodness sakes. Okay, here I am working, and look at me. You know, it's a very embarrassing, okay? Mm-hmm. So then I'm there, I'm like fanning myself, like, come on, dry out. One time I even tried using the, you know, there's the electric dryers in a lot of restrooms. I tried to use the electric dryer. Yeah, that didn't go too well.
Oh, boy.
That didn't go well.
That
okay.
does not seem like a wise plan at all.
All right. Now, the problem is not only do guys splash themselves, they splash the floor.
Hey, now.
Oh, I mean, isn't that, that's the worst. They splash the floor.
Well, I had an event over the weekend where a guy,
guy's
in there, you're always like, oh, no. I'm like, what's up? I always feel a little weird talking to me. He's like, my shoe's untied. I just now noticed it. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a bad place to discover.
Oops.
I'm like, I hear you, buddy.
It, you know, spray or whatever, it ends up all over the floor.
Yep.
Then somebody has to come in and clean it up.
Oh, yeah.
And they have to do that frequently. All right? We're talking about public restrooms now. Now, I've got information. Again, it's amazing what you find out on this fine show.
Uh-huh.
A study from several years ago, the U.S. has approximately 56 million urinals. Did you know that? 56 million public urinals. Wow. And according to the study, the splatter on public floors is as much as 1 million liters every single day. I hope you're not having breakfast. I'm terribly sorry. All right. And, of course, that is very unsanitary. And also, somebody has to come in, of course, and clean it up. So all that extra water that essentially gets wasted.
Water.
All right. To clean up things. Well, apparently some engineers have gotten on the case.
Thank you, engineers.
And they have invented, and I've got pictures here, they've invented two new urinals. All right. Now, these urinals have names. Okay. This one is called Cornucopia.
Cornucopia. Alrighty then.
And the other one is called Nautilus.
Uh-huh.
The Nautilus. All right, now, Mr. Ironhead, can I zoom in here? Yes, I can. Okay. All right, now, again, you're going to have to play along, all right? First off, take a look. Cornucopia is the one on the left. See the one on the left, and Nautilus is the one on the right.
Okay.
Well, now, you're making faces. Why are you making faces?
Well, I need to know the height of the cornucopia. That looks like it could be...
It's a little lower there in comparison to the other two next to it, which are sort of standard
urinals. Yeah, it's okay. Just not much of a not much of an opening there.
Cornucopia, if you will, sort of has walls to kind of, you know, cut down on the splatter.
Yeah, I think that's good.
Now, Nautilus is kind of a long, thinner one, like a tall urinal, okay? Now, that one doesn't have walls, but it's definitely thinner.
Yeah. See,
and that's supposedly, allegedly, to cut down on splatter.
Hmm.
All right. I don't know. Would you like to try one of those two? Or
Sure. I'm pretty open-minded when
which
it comes
one?
To my
Which
hearing.
One do you want?
Well, it seems like the cornucopia would really cut down on the splatter. It just needs to...
What?
The height needs to be right on it.
Okay.
I'm just
so in other words,
like if there's
the height on the walls,
or
okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because that opening is
a little small.
It's not what we're accustomed to. So as long as that opening meets the correct height requirements, I think that would be good.
Now, you've been to a men's room where you have a urinal at a certain height, and then one or two down, it's like lower. You've seen that, and that's probably more for, like, boys.
Well, I think it's more for those of us that have the size issues that, we just gotta let it go to the lower one.
Okay.
Just saying.
All right. Thank you very much. But, I mean, this popular science story, they even have the physics of these things, and so they have these diagrams on how great they're supposed to work.
Those are pretty specific diagrams.
Yes, that looks
a lot of information.
That looks really great.
Uh huh.
So there's no it doesn't say in the story like look for these soon in a public restroom near you or something like that. But clearly, people are thinking about this, and then the idea is to replace these with newer versions to save. What does this say? The Nautilus would reduce splashback by 1 million liters per day. Wow. And then for all the cleanup, it could save up to 10 million liters of fresh water every day. Folks, can you believe that? 10 million liters of water just to clean the bathroom the men's room every day. Wow. Now, we'll take a break in a moment. Now, for the ladies' room, folks, I don't go into the ladies' room, okay? I know they do.
I'd stick with that story.
I'm fairly certain they don't have
public.
They don't have urinals in the ladies' room, right? Right?
Not that we know of.
Now, today, who knows? Just a thought. Apparently, ladies, you don't have the cleanup issues in the ladies' room, I guess. Maybe. I don't know. I don't go in there. All right. So watch out for new urinals, like I said, in a public restroom near you. Okay, please, let's quickly take a break.
All right.
Manic Monday.
Good plan.
Now, again, the heavy issues, we'll tackle those a little later on. I figured, you know, La Fontaine and Cornucopia and Nautilus, not exactly a heavy issue.
No?
But it's something... No, you do that in the other part of the bathroom. Okay,
yeah, fair
here
enough.
We go. Enjoying your breakfast. Oh, that's good to know. Okay, it's Let's Talk here for a Monday morning, and thankfully we're taking a break.
You and
we'll
your
be
yellow
right
journalism.
Boom.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Your destination for a new Kubota is Dodder Equipment, just out the Mill Hall on Route 64. Here's the plan. Sit in the seat of a B-Series Kubota. Take that B-Series for a test drive. And then imagine clearing snow in the winter, getting the garden ready for spring, and then driving over that mid-mount mower and mowing effortlessly with that B-Series Kubota. You can run all sorts of attachments on the Category 1 3-point hitch. And your destination for everything Kubota is Dodder Equipment. The B-Series has a 3-range hydrostatic transmission, which makes every job just so easy. Dodder Equipment, your destination for Kubota, invites you to crawl up in the seat and take a test drive on the BX Series Kubota with tons of implements and even a 4-point front hitch. The Kubota BX Series gives you lots of power with that Kubota diesel engine and, of course, 4-wheel drive. Your destination for all things Kubota is Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Coming up in mid-May, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn. Next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant, State College, Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sports, great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, and special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream. Just down the street from Beaver Stadium in the Jordan Center. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutcheon has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Get up and get going with the Happy Valleys, 98.7 The Fox.
Start of a brand new week here. It is our Monday edition of Let's Talk on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you, and we take a check of sports here. Some football news from the past weekend for Penn State. J.B. Nelson no longer listed on the roster, the reserve guard. Not on the roster any longer. And some good news on Saturday. As four-star quarterback Peyton Falzone, who is a class of 2026 commit, announcing that he'll be coming to Penn State. He's a listed at 6 feet 5 inches, 208 pounds, out of Nazareth, Pennsylvania, and chose the Nittany Lions, he says, over Iowa, Rutgers, West Virginia, and Utah. So he is rated as the 6th best player in Pennsylvania and the 17th best quarterback in the nation, according to 247 Sports. Also, over the weekend, lots of Penn State sports action to catch you up on. The Penn State women's lacrosse team continues. They're kind of following in the footsteps of the Penn State hockey program. Women's lacrosse defeating 22nd-ranked USC in its senior day win. That is a fifth consecutive Big Ten victory here for the Nittany Lions. Matty Greco had a terrific game for Penn State. The Nittany Lions getting all the way back now to 500 on the season at 7-7, but now 5-2 in Big Ten play.
Kelly McKinney had 5 points in all, a goal and four assists. Erica Ho had four goals for Penn State in the victory. And the Nittany Lions will now wrap up the regular season with a trip to Johns Hopkins in a nationally televised game coming up later this week. That'll be a 6 o'clock start. Coming up on Friday. Also, we have, after an early 4-0 lead, Penn State softball dropping a back-and-forth affair to 22nd-ranked Ohio State, 14-11. Michaela Barbarente taking the... hitting a grand slam for Penn State in the loss. The Nittany Lions did rack up 13 hits on the day, but again, a tough loss for Penn State in yesterday's game, which wrapped up that series. Penn State will now have a non-conference matchup on Tuesday against those Pitt Panthers. Patooey. First pitch from Nittany Lions Softball Park in Beard Field will be at 5:30 tomorrow night. I mean, if you're going to win one game, just one game, you got to beat the Panthers.
Preferably more than one, but yeah, go do it.
Well, yeah, let's not just stop there, but let's go ahead and make sure we take care of business in that one. Just a little plea from your old pal,
okay.
Ironhead.
There you go.
Also, over the weekend, 7 goals for Matt Traynor, and the Penn State men's lacrosse team picks up a 10-4 win over 19th-ranked Johns Hopkins. The Nittany Lions ranked 8th in the country. Penn State, again, getting a big day from Traynor and also Jack Frassion in goal as the Nittany Lions improve to 8-3 overall, 2-2 now in Big Ten games this season. Also, over the weekend, the Penn State women's lacrosse team picking up a senior day victory again over USC. Nittany Lions continuing to impress. Next up, a battle against Ohio State. That'll be at 1 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Also, the Penn State men's volleyball team keeping its EIVA regular season title hopes alive with a big win over George Mason, a fourth straight win outlasting George Mason in the Saturday game 3-2, taking the decisive fifth set 15-12. The Nittany Lions now 10-14 on the year, 7-3 now in EIVA matches. Also, over the weekend, Penn State track and field teams in split squad action at the Bison Outdoor Classic Saturday and Sunday in Lewisburg. The women's 1,500-meter race saw a couple of personal bests for Penn State. Claire Zuby and Katie Dallas both setting personal best marks. Zuby running her first ever collegiately 1,500-meter race. She finished 12th overall in a time of 4:28.9. Dallas with a 4:29.08. Also, Christopher D'Souza finished in 5th place in the men's 1,500 in 3:46.54. And Hayden Healy and Ryan Watson placed 2nd and 3rd, respectively, in the men's 3,000-meter steeplechase. Healy completing the race in 8:56.77. And Audrey Friedman finished 2nd in the javelin with a throw of 160.9. That is a new personal best and the 10th best throw in Penn State history. Also, freshman sprinter Jake Palermo completing the 200-meter race in first place in a time of 21.21. Penn State at the Duke Invitational in Durham on Saturday. Maddie Pitts and Maddie Soderquist competing in their first heptathlons so far in the outdoor season. Pitts with a new personal record in the 100-meter hurdles. She finished in 13.56, and that is the seventh best time in program history. Pitts in the 200 meters with a time of 23.78. Pitts also was first in the 800 meters, and Pitts finished with a score of 51.84, which ranked third in the Group A overall. Also, in the shot put, she recorded a 12.53 meters, and Soderquist in the shot put was first with a throw of 12.2 meters. Very good showings there. Penn State will be back in action this coming weekend. And let's see, what other sports news from the weekend? Oh, Jake Griffin taking sixth place for the Penn State men's golf team at the 48th annual Rutherford Intercollegiate at Penn State over the weekend. That event wrapping up yesterday at the Penn State Blue Course. Nittany Lions finishing sixth with an 18 over 870. Penn State's Jake Griffin, again, leading the way, finishing in sixth place individually at one under par for the tournament. Penn State men's tennis team falling to 27th-ranked Illinois on Saturday by a 4-0 score. Also over the weekend, the Pittsburgh Pirates. Have we mentioned that they seem to be struggling a bit? The offense
I think you have.
Yeah. I think it would be fair to say it almost is like there's a disparity there between teams like, oh, I don't know, the Yankees and the Dodgers and the Pirates in terms of the offensive firepower. I haven't sat down and crunched all of the numbers, but my understanding is a lot of those teams have more than one player batting above 220 in the starting lineup.
Are you serious?
So far this season. Unfortunately, I am serious.
Oh, boy. Wow, I didn't know that.
It has not been a good start, and it was a brutal series for the Pirates against the Reds over the weekend. 4-0 the loss yesterday to Cincinnati. The Buccos are now 5-11 on the season. They are, somewhere around last place in the National League Central.
Okay.
You know, give or take a spot or
sort of there.
Somewhere in that general neighborhood.
Okay.
They'll open a series at home against the Washington Nationals, opening up a 7-game homestand of 4 against Washington and then 3 against Cleveland. We will have live coverage of today's game starting at 6:15. First pitch will be at 6:40 this evening. The good news is it is Paul Skeen's turn in the rotation, ladies and gentlemen. So you're saying there's a chance. Well, for today, yes, there's a chance. Philadelphia Phillies doing their best Pirates impersonation yesterday. They got shut out by the Cardinals, 7-0. For those of you keeping track, that would be a grand total of 0 runs scored by your professional baseball teams in Pennsylvania yesterday.
Hey, my Orioles are 6-9. They're clunking along. They blew a 6-3 lead yesterday, lost in 10 innings to Toronto. So I'm right there with you, buddy.
I don't think you're right there with me.
Okay. Now, they have a bit more offense, but their pitching is...
Penguins lost to the Bruins yesterday 4-1, so no 500 season for them. Flyers lost to the Senators 4-3. Just not a lot of good stuff on the professional sports scene here in Pennsylvania over the weekend. But did you watch the Masters, folks? I mean, wow. Just wow. Rory McIlroy, that is the epitome of a roller coaster Sunday at Augusta. I mean, Rory trying to complete the career Grand Slam and become just the sixth golfer in history to win all four of the major golf tournaments. Starts the day with a two-shot lead. After a couple of holes, he's down a shot. It was like, oh boy, oh boy. Then he recovers beautifully, gets on a bit of a roll, and then kerplunk. In goes the golf. And it's like, oh no, no, Rory, what? The only thing you can't do. And it's like, oh man. And then he gathers himself and it's like, all right. And then misses a couple of putts down the stretch that could have clinched this thing. Ends up going into the playoff with Justin Rose and hits a beautiful iron to set up the birdie that wins it. And Rory McIlroy does accomplish the amazing career Grand Slam now in golf. Finally gets his green jacket. Drama on high display. DeChambeau kind of fell apart there, but Rose came up big. Scheffler was kind of hanging around, never quite made the challenge. Oberg had a sensational tournament, was right there, had a chance to putt to make it a three-way playoff. And you could see the emotion. I mean, it was all there for Rory McIlroy after he wins it, drops to his knees, tears flowing. It was very special stuff. Really neat moment for the sport of golf and certainly for Rory McIlroy. I love the Masters. It is just one of those sporting events, and again, I don't follow golf closely. I'm not going to sit here and tell you I know all of the ins and outs. I do follow most of the majors, most of the years. They draw me in, and I'll check out, you know, a tournament here or there. The drama that unfolded yesterday, and really over the course of the entire weekend, was just spectacular stuff. I mean, it's what you want out of sports. Over the weekend in freestyle wrestling, three Penn State wrestlers capturing gold at the under 23 Pan Am Games. And what is really remarkable about this is that the three Nittany Lions, all winning gold, they gave up a grand total of, wait, let me get the calculator, 0 points in the tournament.
I was going to say, there was shutouts.
Zero plus zero plus zero. Yeah, 0 points given up by the Nittany Lions on the weekend. Luke Lilledahl winning gold at 57 kilos. Levi Haynes taking gold at 79 kilos. And Connor Mirasola at 92 kilos. Haynes went 4-0, had two pins, and also a technical superiority in there. Mirasola 2-0 with a couple of technical superiority wins. And Luke Lilledahl 3-0 with two technical superiority wins. U.S. Overall taking home 8 gold medals and 2 bronze medals. That's what we call a very strong show.
That's pretty good, yeah.
U.S. Went 31-2 overall in the tournament. That is amazing.
Ooh, that's
and
really
impressive
good
stuff by Team USA and certainly by the three Nittany Lions. Congratulations to Luke Lilledahl, Levi Haynes, and Connor Mirasola. And I think that's what I have in the world of sports.
All right. Why don't we take a break right here?
Yeah.
I got a couple of sportsy things.
All right.
Again, we're saving the heavy stuff for a little later on, all right? And, boy, is there plenty of heavy stuff and news and stuff out there. But I was so busy over the weekend. I saw the last 4 holes of the Masters yesterday. That's all I saw.
I was riveted.
That's all I saw.
I'll have to share my little story.
And those last 4 holes were amazing. I mean,
truly. I mean... Yeah, those last 4 holes pretty well summed up the tournament as a whole.
Yeah, I think it
was
did.
Just wild.
From what I read, I was busy. Yeah. I missed the rest, but I caught the good stuff.
Yeah, it was
great. Hey, let's take a break. Don't you go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
As you look out onto your yard or acreage, you know it's coming. Lots of work and time. You may be excited about it because you have a Kubota from Daughter Equipment, which actually makes chores fun and frees up your time for other things. Or maybe you're looking at the lawn and acreage with a scowl because you don't even know if your lawn and garden equipment will even start. You need to get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota and the answers. If it's your first tractor, it's hard to decide how much horsepower you're looking for, what implements you'll need. Whether you're gardening or landscaping and keeping up with property maintenance, just being behind the wheel of a Kubota makes you appreciate the Kubota Compact Tractor for its simplicity and ease. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit Bellefonte Cruise.
Get up and get going with the Happy Valley's
98.7. Let's talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff Byers, Scott Giese, and your phone calls are welcome as part of the mix. 814-954-7266. We'll get you into the big show this morning.
Everybody, Wang Chung.
Oh, you got a Wang Chung. I mean, come on.
Everybody,
gotta live a little.
One of my favorite lines from the old Cheers show from Frasier. I love that line. All right, let's take some calls. Go.
All right, are you ready to Wang Chung out there? Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Oh, yeah, Wang Chung is right up my alley.
Yeah, baby.
Talking about your previous very serious subject reminds me of a joke I heard about two guys out fishing, standing on a bridge. They both decided they really couldn't wait any longer. They absolutely had to go to the bathroom. So they're doing their thing, and the one guy says, "Boy, that water's cold." The other guy says, "Yeah, indeed."
Indeed.
Okay.
Anyway, Jeff or Scott, I need an authority on this NIL. Can somebody explain to me, number one, where the funds are generated from, and also, is there like limitations on this by sport or by individual or whatever? I'm just kind of curious because I've never really been clear on how that system works.
Well, the way right now, with they have collectives, the universities have collectives, so it is from fans, boosters, that's where the money comes from. Now there's fundraising events, there's just pleas to those fans and boosters, hey, you know, we want to have a big time program, give us the money. A lot of them will do, including Penn State, does a lot of events where, hey, you pay X amount of money, we'll let you come in and have a meet and greet with these athletes, you know, one team or another, or a group of players from this team or another, and those sorts of things. So, but it's, yeah, it comes from the collective fans and boosters of these teams. Now, you're reading I'm reading all kinds of things about how this is going to look in the future, and whether or not with the payments that are coming with this agreement that is pending approval from the judicial system. That what the NCAA and what these college conferences are trying to avoid, they say, is pay for play, where, hey, I'll give you $1 million, you come play for me. Well, this school over here says, I'll give you $1.2 million, you come play for me. I'll give you $1.3 million, you come play for me. They are wanting to avoid that. Where I think they're going to run into real trouble here, what they the parameters that they are trying to set up, okay, is that there's going to be payment around $22 million annually, given to the student athletes if this gets approved. Now, what is not detailed there is, and I know of at least one school that has said all of our $22 million, and they've let the programs there know. Our $22 million is going to football and basketball, the two sports that bring in money for our school. They're going to football and basketball. I know Penn State has a formula that has worked out where football will get the majority of it, men's basketball will get a big chunk, and then not all of the other sports, but a lot of the other sports will get a portion of the remaining money. Now, where the trouble, I think, is going to come in the future is the NCAA is trying to set up a panel, a group that will determine whether or not you... So you'll have that. That is step one. And then the athletes can still go out and make what we would call NIL deals on their own. Not with the collective, not with the university, but if a local business wants to have, you know, athlete X represent their car company, well, they can certainly do that. But what the NCAA is proposing is that it will set up, again, this panel that will determine whether or not the athlete is being paid, quote-unquote, fair market value with these deals. Well, again, who is to determine the fair market value? For one, okay, a wrestler in State College is worth more. Having a Mitchell Messenbrink or a Carter Sturacci represent your car company is worth more here because of the following the Penn State wrestling has, the recognizability and the popularity of Penn State wrestlers. It's going to be much more than, say, a wrestler in Chattanooga. They're not the same celebrity status in Chattanooga. And I don't mean to be picking on Chattanooga's wrestling team.
Pick a town.
Pick any team where wrestling is not as popular. Probably be better to pick like a professional sports city, a Northwestern wrestler. There's not the recognizability there, or the popularity. Well, also, if I determine in my business, hey, you know what, I think wrestler X, I want to give him $1 million. I think over the course of the next couple of years, I'm going to get that back. And even if I don't, I've made the business judgment that that's what I want to invest in. Well, the NCAA, I suspect, is going to raise a red flag. Well, that's not fair market value. Well, who are you to determine fair market value? Fair market value is whatever you get out on the market. Now, again, what they're trying to prevent is they don't want businesses being able to just pay for athletes to come in and play. And what I'm thinking is eventually the courts are going to say that's none of your business. The athletes in a business can make an agreement and you have no say. You should have no jurisdiction over that, is what I suspect is eventually going to happen with the legal system. But that's
so you think Jeff, then that now I'm a little bit unclear. First of all, is the onus on the athlete to contact the school? You know, I want to go to Ohio State, and I'm currently at Penn State or whatever. And now, is it the onus on me in this? I'm assuming this all mostly comes about through the portal, on me to say I want to go to Ohio State. Or is Ohio State going to contact me and say, you know, we really like you in our program. We just lost our, 74-year-old, 220-pound guy, and we need a new one. Is it kind of quirky on how that happens? Like, who contacts who?
Legally, right now, during the portal, once you have entered your name into the portal, then it is fair game either way. So you have opened up the recruiting process once again. Now, kids can say specifically, hey, I don't want to hear from anybody. I've narrowed my choice down already, and you're supposed to respect that if you're other schools. Schools are, and representatives of schools are not to have contact with student athletes outside of the transfer portal period. There are all kinds of rumors that, well, that is not what is happening. That there are, and one of the problems right now is they have set it up, the NCAA has set it up to tell coaches and the institution specifically that they cannot interfere with the collectives. Well, so if somebody breaches that, if somebody in the collective, a business person, hey, I want you to let athlete X over there know that there might be $1 million waiting here if when the transfer portal opens, he reaches out to us. Well, okay, even if we track that down and it, well, that's not allowed by the rules right now. Well, this is my opinion now. You can't punish the school because you've specifically told the school they're not involved in these negotiations. So,
right.
So how do you, and the NCAA has no jurisdiction over, like, you can't punish, all right, business, you've got to fork over X amount of money to the NCAA because we found you in violation of our rules. Well, business is going to say, go pound salt. You have nothing to do with our business. I'm not giving you anything.
In essence, and I have no idea if Tom Cruise ever went to college or even went to high school, but he's obviously, over time, has become fairly wealthy. This, suppose Tom Cruise decides, boy, I'd really like to see that UCLA football team be a national champ. I think I'm going to dump $460 million of my own money and buy every player I can get. In theory, nobody can stop them.
Correct.
So what we're going to have, Jeff, is exactly what you alluded to last week, and I agree 100%. In my estimate, my humble opinion, I've been around sports my whole life, not professionally, obviously, but I don't think there's any question. Like you said, the NCAA's hands essentially are tied to stopping an individual like yourself who has a business from doing, in essence, what you want to do in terms of, I think, Mitchell Messenbrake's worth $2 million, and that's what I'm going to give him, or whatever. I foresee that, and it's leaning that way already, this is absolutely, in my opinion, going to ruin collegiate sports.
There's a lot of people that share that opinion.
It's already starting to ruin. And I've got to...
Yeah,
I've got
if
to,
you followed the Tennessee story over the weekend,
that's the
with
one.
Their quarterback, it is...
That's the one.
It's absolutely bonkers.
I mean, that's the poster child of this whole issue right there.
At the moment,
yeah,
for sure.
I think you're talking about the... Now, that $22 million, that's essentially, like you said, that covers... What do we got, 37 sports at Penn State or something? But how long before the star girls fast pitch pitcher from Alabama decides she's coming to Penn State? And wait a minute, you just gave that quarterback $500,000 and I'm going to get $14. How long before that cluster starts?
Yep. I mean, Goon has talked about that a lot on our show that... you know, guys in NFL locker rooms know what each other are making, and it does cost. You have a player who's underperforming in a given year, or you have a player that's overperforming, And guys will rally around one or, you know, ostracize another. And yes, if you don't think that's going to happen to an even greater degree in some cases in college rooms, and, you know, we've talked about it too, there are so many different angles to this. But one of the issues that I think is going to be very real, is very real, and will remain, will continue to be, maybe even more so. Again, you're still talking, we're taking the amateurism out of it altogether. There's no question about that, at least in football and basketball, for sure. And that is just what it is. We're not turning back on that. And I can argue, to a large degree, I'm supportive of the direction it's gone. I think, again, we went from one extreme to another, and I think that's very problematic. But the other thing that's problematic here is we're still talking, in some cases, 17-year-olds, but basically 18 to 23-year-olds is the basic age range we're dealing with. Well, think back when you were 18 to 23. Fairly stressful time in your life. You're trying to figure out what you want, who you are, all of those things. A lot of those kids going to college, you know, they're out on the first time on their own for the first time, and you know, you're trying to figure out whatever values you've learned, how they apply, what you want to do. You're getting all kinds of temptations, all of the things that come with being a young adult, making that transition from childhood to adulthood. And yes, on one hand, man, really cool, now I get some money to boot, but with that money, we've already have crazy fans who will reach out and contact kids. And hey, well, you add to the crazy fandom to begin with, adults who think, yeah, I have no problem calling up or emailing a student athlete and letting them know that I think he's a bum or she's a bum. So, well, okay, again, maybe time for an evaluation on your life, but add to that now, all right, these athletes are getting paid. And so now some of these crazy fans are contributing directly to these kids' income. Hey, Frank, I paid good money to get you here. You are not producing. What is going on with you? Well, Frank, maybe his girlfriend just broke up with him. Maybe the classes that he's taking are harder than... Folks, the mental health component here is going to be very, very real. And we haven't even gotten into, Goon has talked about it too, the gambling component that is there now in college sports to a greater degree than it's ever been. Folks, again, there are some really good things happening, and there are some student athletes whose lives are being truly changed for the better because we have loosened these constraints, which I think were way, way too far. Man, I'm unhappy in school. I'm miserable here. I want to go back home. Coach could say, nope. Sorry, you can do it, but you're going to have to sit out a year. We're not releasing you. Well, that's ridiculous. My opinion. That's absurd. We don't do it in any, you know, if a music student goes and they're on a music scholarship and they're miserable at the school, the music teacher doesn't get to say, no, you cannot transfer back closer to home without sitting out a year and not playing music. Well, that was ridiculous.
That's a unique.
Again, my opinion, ridiculous. Way too far. Now, I think we've, because of the lack of any leadership, any forethought by the NCAA over these many years. Remember when you had guys like Joe Bitardo? Hey, why are we not giving these kids a stipend, a little spending cash? We're making a fortune off of them. We're doing all kinds of trips with coaches and providing all kinds of expenses paid opportunities. Could we not maybe give these kids like $100 a week, just a little spending cash? Oh, no, we cannot do that. That would violate amateurism. Well, that was idiotic.
beyond idiotic, greedy, and selfish, and awful. Like, awful by the NCAA. And now, because they dug their feet in and, no, we will not do anything to help the student-athlete in any way financially, well, now it has, I think, swung too far the other way, but it's because the NCAA would not relinquish just a little bit of that financial control. And so, yes, now it's gone bonkers the other way, and eventually we'll get to some sort of parameters, some sort of control on this, but it's going to take a while, and it has forever changed, no question about it, collegiate sports. We appreciate the phone call. We need to take a break. We are back. Another hour of open phone conversation. We can go any direction you want. And, yes, we'll get into some other serious topics here.
We're into the heavy stuff now, folks.
In the 9 o'clock hour.
Would you like to profit from Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox? If you have sales experience, we're looking for new team members to spread the word to local businesses about 98.7 The Fox. Sell advertising with a lot of potential from all of our Fox programs, Pittsburgh Pirates baseball, and live sports events focused right here in Center County. For more information, contact manager Sam Jordan via email at foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. That's foxsportshappyvalley@gmail.com. Join us here at 98.7 The Fox.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society gold medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
Sports fans flock to the We Are Inn in Phillipsburg for fun, great food and drink, and to cheer on the Nittany Lions. Coming up in mid-May, visit the new Happy Valley Live by the We Are Inn. Next to the Hampton Inn, the former Damon's Restaurant, State College, Happy Valley Live will become your go-to spot for sports. Great Italian and American cuisine, the best bar in town, and special rooms for parties and meetings. It's a Penn State fan's dream. Just down the street from Beaver Stadium in the Jordan Center. The countdown is on. The new Happy Valley Live is coming soon.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a sock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit Bellefonte Cruise.
This year's Penn State Board of Trustees election is about transparency and competence. And Pat Romano is asking for your alumni vote. Pat is a successful local business owner from Phillipsburg and a leader on the World Campus Alumni Board who believes in lowering student tuition, saving Commonwealth campuses, improving the Penn State student experience, and in honoring Joe and Sue Paterno by returning the Joe Paterno statue. Number 3 on your alumni ballot, Pat Romano will focus on Penn State's future and enough of the nonsense. This spring, vote for Pat Romano for the Penn State Board of Trustees.
Your sports radio.
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
It's Let's Talk here on a Monday. Jeff and Scott with you. Some open phone time here at 814-954-7266.
All right, we're into the heavy stuff. Actually, I had this on my notes about this NIL stuff. And you're right. I remember in the old days, if you gave an athlete, Penn State athlete, $10 for a pizza. Now, that's back when pizzas were still $10.
Uh-huh.
Okay. If you gave that kid $10, hey, go get yourself a pizza. You're doing cool stuff. You know, just here's $10 to go get a pizza, to have some fun with your friends or something. Alarm bells would go off, and it would make the media somehow, and it was insane. It truly was nuts.
Truly.
All right? Yes. Joe Paterno crushed this so many years ago, and nobody would listen. Now look what we have. All right? $10 for a pizza, and somebody throws a fit. Oh, for goodness sakes. Yeah, this kid from Tennessee, Nico Iamaleva. Now, Tennessee had a really good team last year that went to the college football playoff. Ohio State buried them, but they got there, okay? And this kid had a good season, all right? He was good. They get to spring practice, and apparently he decides, I want more money, and decides to kind of hold out, all right? Now, I've seen a couple other stories like that, where if you don't give me more money, I'm not playing, or something like that. I'm trying to think. Football. Nevada, Las Vegas, maybe? Back in the fall, Nevada, Las Vegas got off to a good start, and their quarterback and I think another guy suddenly decided, yeah, we want more money. And that just threw everything a kilter. I think it was UNLV. I think I got that right. Now, Tennessee, just like in the last, couple of weeks, all right, this kid, I want more money. And Tennessee essentially said, no. Not doing that. All right, we're not playing that game. And so they essentially said, okay, kid, see you later. And he is going to go into the portal. Now, this guy, Iamaleva, is a good quarterback. All right, he's good. If he ends up somewhere, he'll win. My thought is, imagine other colleges. All right, this kid's in the portal and you need a quarterback. Would you take him after this incident? Would you take this guy? Has he just blacklisted himself because of his desire for more money? I was thinking about that over the weekend. If I'm a self-respecting athletic director, I wouldn't touch this kid with a 10-foot pole. You know, the old 10-foot pole, 20-foot pole, some kind of pole. Would you, if you were at, Mr. Ironhead, if you were at another school, would you touch this kid?
I would not, no.
I wouldn't either. Now, it'll be interesting. He's going into the portal now. Okay, boom. I want to see the interest in this guy. Now, maybe there's a school out there, they are so desperate for a good quarterback, they'll promise the moon. They'll get Tom Cruise to give whatever that example was, $400 million or something. That's an extreme example, but I get it. Or does nobody take him? And then what happens if nobody takes him? He's not going back to Tennessee. Tennessee wants nothing to do with him anymore. So a lot of us are doing this, Tennessee. Good job. Because this is unsustainable. It cannot continue this way. You use the term pay for play. That's exactly what this is. And schools don't want to deal with this, but they've backed into it. You know, because we didn't give $10 to give a kid a pizza.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
The lack of,
any
forethought.
I call this a house of cards, unsustainable. At some point, this whole thing has to collapse. Now, the NCAA is trying to back their way back into this. Well, maybe we need not a salary cap, but we need a system. And they had a public hearing the other day, and a bunch of athletes like Livy Dunn, the LSU gymnast and Paul Skeens' girlfriend and a very popular online influencer. I mean, the girl's rich. I mean, give her credit. She's cashed in. She's like, wait, you're going to limit what I can make? I don't think that's a good idea. And it's fair market value and all that sort of stuff.
So I'd be curious to get a, maybe we can get a guest or two or something on this, because this is going to come crashing down at some point. It just has to, because, I mean, the horse is out of the barn here, or Pandora's box is now open, all these cliches. You're not going to put the horse back in the barn on this one, I don't think. And yes, most of the money, you said, is going to go to football players and basketball players. Now, depending on the sport, here at Penn State, wrestlers, right? Right? Wrestlers here. You mentioned, what, Chattanooga? Do they have a wrestling team?
Well, they do.
Chattanooga? All right, I have no idea. But not nearly as big as this one. At other schools, it might be baseball players. I'm thinking like SEC or whatever, where baseball is like a big deal, all right? Like a humongous deal. So baseball players. The fencers, they might get that $10, well, hopefully now $20 for a pizza. Okay. Should every Penn State athlete get money? All right, Mr. Ironhead, what do you think about that one? Should every Penn State varsity program athlete get something? Yes or no? What do you, just opinion?
What do you
No.
In part because, and this is, again, we're just going to have to see how this all plays out. But if it is forced, and there's no proposal that I've seen that is talking about this, where, all right, if you have a varsity student athlete, you must pay each of them. Because the issue then becomes, like Ohio State, I think, has 37 varsity programs, 36, 37 varsity programs.
Penn State has 31, isn't it? 31?
Yeah, and I think, there's some SEC schools that have like 16 varsity programs. Well, if you're saying, all right, if you have a varsity program, you must pay every student athlete X amount, then the issue becomes pretty easy, unfortunately, for some of those schools that have bigger athletic programs. Okay, ooh, sorry, bye-bye programs. See ya.
Yeah.
It was nice knowing you, but yeah, no, we're not paying. We want to be competitive in football and men's basketball and, you know, the handful of other sports that every or most schools are competitive in. Most schools have, you know, you're trying to be competitive. Those that have D1 football and or basketball, you're certainly wanting to be competitive as you can be in those sports. And then most schools, it's like, hey, yeah, lacrosse is really popular here, or gymnastics is really popular there, or whatever it may be, track and field. So you're trying that. Now, Penn State, and there are several schools, Ohio State, Michigan, Stanford, we want. Those schools are trying to be really, really competitive at the highest level in as many sports as they possibly can. But, again, if you are carving up $22 million and you have schools, and it's not mandated, and it's not being mandated, and I haven't seen anywhere a proposal that it be mandated, how you must spend that money. Now, the conferences may get together, like the Big Ten may get together and say, listen, you have to, I don't think it would be that you have to pay X amount to every student athlete, but it may be, hey, you can't exceed, and I'm making up the numbers here, 75% of the money going to any one sport, which most schools, 75 to 80%, most of the proposals I've seen have, 75 to 85% of the $22 million going to football. And listen, football also will now have 105 athletes on the roster. Well, so divvying up, let's just use the 75% figure. 75% of $22 million going to 105 different student athletes compared to, well, it's only 10% for basketball. Yeah, it's a roster of 15 kids. That is a lot of money per kid going to, if you use that ratio, 75-10, and then 15 divvied up among the other sports as you see fit. And again, there's wrestling is a big deal at Penn State. Wrestling would get, and again, I don't know what the figures are, but is wrestlers are going to get a bigger portion of that pie than, let's say, fencing at Penn State. Penn State has a wonderful tradition in fencing. Wrestling packs rec hall. Fencing does not. But again, it's going to be different sports in different areas that, hey, yeah, man, women's basketball is huge in Connecticut. Like, absolutely huge on that UConn campus. Well, they're going to do, like, those student athletes are celebrities up there. Again, different areas are going to have different sports that are a big deal. But if it becomes, all right, yep, you must pay, again, X amount of money, and let's just say $10,000 per student athlete. You must spend at least $10,000 on, well, I'm telling you, and it's not even, I don't think this is debatable, you are going to lose hundreds, at least hundreds of varsity programs across the country. Now, you may eventually be losing hundreds anyway, with the way this thing is playing out. What is happening at a lot of schools, and I think Penn State is included in this, is, all right, we're, football, basketball being taken care of, these sports being taken care of, relatively speaking, and then these other sports, man, we are not cutting you. And we love you, and you got to go figure out how to support yourself. Well, if you don't have an alumnus who has deep pockets and wants to support, like, it becomes a very difficult. You're similar to club status, really, at that point. I mean, you're competing at the varsity level, but you now are having to go out and figure out the fundraising that can make you sustainable and somewhat competitive in your sport at the national level. And, I mean, listen, these are difficult decisions that are being made across the board. And, again, unless the conferences step in and say, all right, this is the rules that we're going to set up for our conference, somehow the NCAA regains a foothold, and I just don't see that happening, and comes to some sort of an agreement. But again, the danger is if you start putting on the mandates that it has to be, yep, any student athlete gets X amount of money, the result is going to be a bunch of sports lose varsity status. There's no way around that.
I mean, we'll take a break in a moment. There are so many different angles to this, which is strangely fascinating. All right. So, for instance, on Saturday, I had to help a family member move to a new place.
Yep.
Okay. And this was down in the York County area. So Saturday morning, get in the car, drive down. Later Saturday, drive back. And me being me, I got my eyes open, which is always a good thing when you're driving.
Good thinking. Well done.
I don't go for these automatic cars or uh-huh. whatever. Some observations very quickly. Number one, for whatever reason, down in the York-Harrisburg area, which is a big area, a lot of billboards down there. Around here, we really don't have that many billboards. We just don't. But no. Down there's a ton of billboards, and my observation is a lot of them are for lawyers. Okay?
Yes.
Hurt in an accident? Call this number or something, you know? A bunch of different law firms down there hawking themselves on these billboards.
Yeah.
Now, there's one particular one from Harrisburg, and I guess these guys are probably Penn State alums. The lawyers are alums. And they're putting Penn State athletes on their billboards. Now, a while back, it was Abdul Carter, all right, football star. And I remember the first time I saw this, I'm like, whoa, it's Abdul Carter. First, he has his football helmet on, so you can't even hardly see his face. But he's there, and he's got number 11 on his jersey. I'm like, okay, Stick City, all right, I get it. That's Abdul Carter.
Yep.
Later on, it's a picture of Abdul without a helmet on. Okay, now I recognize him. That's good. When I'm driving down on Saturday, now it's women's basketball players. Penn State women's basketball players. And I saw two different billboards with two different players. Same lawyer outfit, okay? One of them was Mariah Murray, all right? One of the Penn State Lady Lions. And I thought, no, wait a minute. And last month, Mariah put herself in the transfer portal.
Uh-huh.
She was going to leave. Now, apparently a week ago, she changed her mind. She's coming back. So, good. She's a good player. That's good. But last month, she was heading out. And I'm thinking, what's she doing up there on a billboard wearing a nice Penn State outfit? Now, why? Now, folks, let's go wild. We're going to go to Conspiracy Theory Land, our favorite theme park. Okay? We love Conspiracy Theory Land. It's free, and you go in there and you go wild. Okay? Why did she change her mind? Now, I don't know the answer to this question. Did she have a change of heart? Did somebody say, hey, we put you on a billboard. Where are you going? Was that part of it?
I think that was it.
Was that part of it? You know, like,
oh, I forgot I was on that billboard. Never mind. I'll stay. I think that was exactly what
happened.
I mean,
she's there. She's smiling with a basketball Penn State jersey. I'm thinking, wait a minute, isn't she leaving? So what about situations like that? I mean, that's crazy. And the whole idea with athletes, I mean, I've seen Drew Aller in a commercial for a insurance company, I think, like a local insurance company or a regional insurance company. And I think I've seen some other folks doing, you know, kids doing various things and so on. There are so many different angles to this gig that when I saw Mariah Murray on this big billboard, I'm like, my first thought was, wait, isn't she leaving? Then I had to do some checking. No, she changed her mind. Okay, well, why? Is this somehow involved with this stuff? Folks, this ain't the old days. All right, let's take our break. This isn't the old days with the $10 for a pizza.
It is not.
And imagine, again, you hit it. If they had done that, what Jopa wanted 30-whatever years ago that was, would we be having these discussions right now?
I think not.
Probably, no. Well, not to this level.
I don't think we'd be having
it. At all.
I don't. If they had progressively, I really don't.
Interesting.
I think everybody would have been satisfied.
Let's take a break. Get that feeling. Get that feeling. It's the
Fox. Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCormick has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion!
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Praise the Jolly Roger!
The Center Hall Farm Store is ready to meet all of your feed needs. Whether you're feeding livestock, pets, wildlife, or birds, stop in and let the Center Hall Farm Store provide the best food options for the animals in your life. And with winter coming, now is the time to stock up on wood pellets from the Center Hall Farm Store. Check them out in person at 110 Allison Street in Center Hall or online at centerhallfarmstore.com. That's centerhallfarmstore.com. 110 Allison Street in Center Hall.
The Center County Recycling and Refuse Authority is proud to support local sports here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Check out our website at centercountyrecycles.org for employment opportunities, upcoming events, the authority's newsletter, and details on what can and can't be recycled, as well as updated schedules. That's centercountyrecycles.org. Once again, the website is centercountyrecycles.org.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64 for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time, even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Daughter Equipment just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Daughter Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
It is a Monday morning we have in play. Jeff and Scott with you. The phone line is open. Can go any direction you want to go this morning at 814-954-7266. That's 814-954-7266.
Yep, we're into the heavy hour now. All right. Folks, I'm actually getting worried. I've been worried, but I'm getting even more worried that there are, and there, I'm being simplistic here, all right? There's a lot of sick people out there, all right? There are some folks out there with issues, and I'm talking between the ears type issues. I'm trying not to
genuinely.
I'm not trying to be insulting, but you get where I'm going here, okay? We'll talk about State High in a moment. I mean, that one over the weekend, like, whoa. Let's start with the governor's mansion. Now, if you missed the story somehow over the weekend, you were away or in a cave or not paying attention, some guy, overnight Saturday night, somehow gets into the grounds of the governor's mansion down in Harrisburg. Now, I mentioned that on Saturday I had to help a family member move, and I had to drive essentially through Harrisburg to get to where I was going, and I normally go down what's called Front Street, which is right along the river. The governor's mansion is right along Front Street. So on Saturday, I drove right past the governor's mansion where this took place late Saturday night, like 2 a.m. or something. Some guy from Harrisburg, because they've arrested somebody, thank goodness, somehow broke into the grounds, got into the house, set off some Molotov cocktails, which is, you know, alcohol, and you set it afire and you throw it, boom, it just starts burning. The governor and his family and some friends were in the mansion at the time. Apparently, where this person did this was in another part of the mansion. Mansion means it's big. All right, this is a big, big building. And they were able to get the governor and his family and friends out. You know, the police responded and fire and all this sort of stuff. If you saw some pictures, either on the news or maybe online, this guy did serious damage to the governor's mansion. I mean, this wasn't some oops. You know, little thing. He burned it up, this one part of the building. And luckily the police, I don't know if they had a tip or whatever, but they were able to find this guy and they arrested him. I'm not going to mention his name. 38 years old. He's confessed to the crime. So they got their guy. And I've got, there's a bunch of stories coming out now. I've got here one from Spotlight PA, our friends there. Apparently this guy, I guess he told police that if he got into the building and saw the governor, in other words, saw Josh Shapiro, he was going to attack him with a hammer. That's how this, first off, he wanted to burn up the house, and he clearly wanted to do violence, or worse, to the governor. Now, the governor, of course, is Jewish. His family, I guess, Jewish. And Passover week just started, all right? Passover week and Easter sort of go together. Easter is a day. Passover is like a week. And so they were, you know, doing things in that regard. Is this guy an anti-Semite? I would assume over time we will find out. But, I mean, this has made national news now, and this is like, holy smokes. First off, A, how did the guy get in the grounds? Was there no security that he was able to do all this stuff before and apparently got out before they went and found him and caught him?
Is that have something to do with the fact the governor is Jewish? Is that something to fact do with he's a Democrat? Does that have something to fact to do with something political? Well, over time, give it time, we will find out. But that is just scary stuff. Then we have the incident at State College High School. Now, school started over there about an hour ago, roughly, round off. And if you missed this story, over the weekend, somebody apparently tipped off somebody else about this guy, I can almost say kid, because apparently he's 20 years old, who is now living in Mifflin County, but apparently used to be from State College, allegedly put together a hit list of people. He had a weapon. He was going to set off bombs. This was all going to be one day next week, like at the start of the school day. He was going to do, obviously, very terrible things. And so that's, it's like, excuse me, like what? That doesn't happen here. Well, yeah, maybe it does. So today, I'm assuming at State High, everybody's on pins and needles right now because they probably have brought in some extra metal detectors. Now, I have friends that work at State High, and I was just over there, I don't know, a couple of weeks ago for an event just to kind of check things out. And, yep, there's a metal detector there, and there's a couple of entrances that you can come in and all that sort of thing. Apparently, they brought in a lot more metal detectors because I'm assuming every single kid had to go through a metal detector, and every person, for that matter. Extra police, I'm going to assume maybe state troopers, State College police. I mean, State College has their resource officers and so on. Way more than that today, maybe way more than that this week. If I'm correct, now, since State College has a spring break, which was back around Penn State's back in March, I think they only have Friday off this week for Easter weekend. I think they only, does that sound
that
right
to you?
That's only one day. Some other folks may be there, because, let's face it, folks, we didn't have many snow days, okay? Or we didn't have any snow days. Their Easter breaks may go longer. I think State College is only one day, Friday. I'm assuming, that this security presence is probably going to be there all week. And if this threat was made for next week, allegedly, they're probably going to have that extended security next week as well. Maybe they'll have it for the rest of the school year. All right. So, I mean, if you're a State College parent, I'm just curious, what are you thinking? I mean, the school's not at fault here. This is some, I'm going to call him a crazed individual who had these plans. Now, again, police are investigating. There's still a lot to do here, all right, before any final anything takes place. But this guy was arrested. He's at Center County Jail. He's going to stay in Center County Jail while they do investigating. Now, one of the questions is, did this guy come up with this all by himself? Because he wasn't a student, 20 years old. He was a student, apparently, you know, a couple of years ago or something. Is there somebody on the inside that, well, we don't know. Nobody knows right now. Let the investigators do their jobs, and then we'll find out. But I'd be curious, you know, if you're a State College parent, are you nervous? I think I would be. Now, you're a State College parent, but you have a little guy, yeah, right? Not at the high school. I don't know. Are you nervous about something like this? I think I would be.
Yes. In part, when you have a school district that is as big as State College's is, it's a concern of mine even before this story broke, and obviously this story is very concerning, and we're going to learn more. There's more going on here, and I think we'll get that released publicly here in the very near future. Very important, as people have been saying for a long time, and we're just in such an interesting time right now, because on one hand, we have people, man, you see something, say something. And on the other hand, we have people waiting. I mean, just waiting for the opportunity. You racist, you son of a, you intolerant. Nope, ignore all of that. You see something, say something. Okay? We that needs to be the priority. I really do worry that we have people that, oh, I see something, but, oh, that person, I don't want anybody to think I have anything against that person. Color of skin, religion, whatever it may be. I know they've come out as whatever. I don't want anybody to think that I have anything. See something, say something.
Do it.
Folks, there are knuckleheads out there, and there's always going to be knuckleheads, and they're going to ascribe things that they don't know what they're talking about. And we see it on a daily basis, unfortunately, now. You see it on Facebook all the time. Well, the only way you can vote for that person is you have to be a racist. That's why I can't be friends. Come on. Be better. Come up with an argument that supports your side. Stop. Stop with the... we're seeing otherwise seemingly sane people. Well, yeah, if that person gets assassinated, I'm okay with it. Wait, what are you doing? Like, seriously, what the hell are you doing? Think about it. Again, you can be passionate. Man, I hate this guy, that person. Stop with the, oh yeah, no, we're okay with violence. You see somebody setting firebombs to anything. I don't care whether it's something that you want to see destroyed. Condemn it. This isn't hard, folks. We used to be really good at condemning violence. For some reason, we're just not. Well, in this case, I am. But no, against that Elon Musk guy, he hasn't come. It's not Elon Musk that you're committing the violence against. Quit being a moron.
Let's take
That's not too much to ask. It really isn't. Let's head to the phones. Good morning. You're live on Let's Talk.
Now, who would you think is calling at 9:40 on a Monday morning?
Oh, who could it possibly
our friend
be?
Joe. Oh, for goodness sake.
We completely lost track of the time.
Hey, Joe, hold on, all right? Hold on there, Joe.
And thank you for remembering.
Yeah, we got to take a break.
I'm an absolute moron.
Yeah, well, you got
I'm the moron.
Got two morons here, all right? Because we're into the heavy stuff. So,
all right.
Joe, hold on. Give us a couple of minutes while we play this break.
Completely lost track of the time.
I think there are a lot of people, they think, see something, say something. If it turns out to be nothing, it blows back on you. No, it doesn't.
No.
If it turns out to be wrong, it's just wrong. That's it. If you know something...
And it doesn't have to be like something horrendous like this.
No.
Like if you have concerns expressed...
Finally, the soundtrack of summer is returning to the airwaves here in Happy Valley. And it's doing so right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This year's Pittsburgh Pirates offer a mix of veteran stars.
Andrew McCutchen has won it! They're going crazy! The Pirates have won this game!
And perhaps baseball's newest shining star.
The 2-2. He got him, and he's done it again. Paul Skeens finishes strong.
Every game all season long brings the promise of new excitement.
The Bucks walk it off in grand fashion.
Don't miss the action of Pirates baseball this season. The Buccos are back here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Raise the Jolly Roger!
Your home for local sports. We are Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. This spring we'll have live coverage of Center County baseball and softball. With the long, strong traditions of great players and great teams in our area, you can follow this season from opening day through the state championship. All right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. We wish all of the local athletes the best of luck in the upcoming season. Stay tuned for more local sports right here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox.
Join the Nittany Knights as they perform Just Sing, 7 p.m. May 17th at the State Theater in downtown State College. This year's spring show will feature 2024 International Barbershop Harmony Society gold medal winners, Three and a Half Men, along with choirs from State College High School and Mountain Indian Park Forest Middle Schools. Tickets $30 for adults, $20 for children 15 and under. Get your tickets today at nittanyknights.org. Just Sing, May 17th, 7 p.m. at the State Theater. Made possible by a grant from the Happy Valley Adventure Bureau.
Your destination for a new Kubota is Daughter Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. Here's the plan. Sit in the seat of a B-Series Kubota. Take that B-Series for a test drive. And then imagine clearing snow in the winter, getting the garden ready for spring, and then driving over that mid-mount mower and mowing effortlessly with that B-Series Kubota. You can run all sorts of attachments on the Category 1 3-point hitch. And your destination for everything Kubota is Daughter Equipment. The B-Series has a 3-range hydrostatic transmission, which makes every job just so...
Recent changes to analog phone lines have increased faxing costs dramatically. With Cloud Fax Solutions from Doing Better Business, you can now have a reliable, scalable method, which is great for compliance. XM Fax integrates seamlessly with our Ricoh and all multifunctional devices and provides a secure, shared experience with automatic workflow routing. Take your faxing to the cloud with Doing Better Business. Our solutions and service teams are ranked in the top 10% of the country for customer satisfaction. Visit us today at doingbetterbusiness.com.
Your destination. Your destination for a new.
It's Let's Talk here on Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox. Jeff and Scott with you here on a Monday morning. And yes, every Monday.
We have a new segment called Two Morons and a Weatherman. Guess which one is who.
There okay. you go. There we go. Joe Bastardi, weatherbell.com, kind enough to join us and wait patiently through the break. Good morning, sir.
Yeah, why don't we just call it the Three Stooges and get it over with?
Perfect.
There you go. That works, too.
You know, it is funny because I forget what state it is. The other morning, my TV has a ghost in it. It just pops on. Well, the flicker, I call it the flicker, the channel changers next to me. If I sit down a certain way, TV pops on. And the Three Stooges were on, the classic Niagara Falls Three Stooges, which I don't know if any of you have seen. See, now I've been busy working real hard. The period April 6th through 15th, it turned out to be very cold. And we've got one more cold river to cross, so to speak. Tomorrow night into Wednesday morning, we'll obviously snow flurries and snow squalls come across the area again. And then in the wake of that, we should get out of the situation where we have to worry about that. I think the Easter weekend, I think Saturday, we're going to have to deal with some rain, but Sunday will be chilly and dry. And for the last 10 days of the month, we go back into the pattern, a warmer than normal pattern for you. And that's a good sign. But I've been, I've been brainstorming all weekend about April. April 17th has always been a huge day in my life. Right in front of me, my dad's New Jersey Vanity license plate, MB41729. My dad was born April 17th, 1929. And that April 17th is a big day. And 15 years ago, or 16 years ago, I guess it's going to be on April 17th, Cale Sanderson arrived officially at Penn State University. And I think what we have to do is have a Cale Appreciation Day, all right, every April 17th. And listen, the method behind my madness is to raise NIL money. Now, just stick with me here.
There we go.
All right? To show you how I reach across the aisle about everything, I got this idea when I was watching the Democrats hold up their bingo cards at Trump's State of the Union speech, right? Now, what if, you know, those, you know, they put, they have these, they look like giant lollipops. He's lying. He's a fraud. He's whatever, right? But what if we, you know, had Penn State, probably cost him $30,000 to $50,000 to do, make bingo cards or, you know, Kale Sanderson lollipops or whatever that we all have to carry around. They cost $20 to buy. You get 30,000 people to walk around on April 17th. So that's a lot of money. That's a lot of NIL money. And I'm just looking for creative ways of doing such things like that. But it is a big deal that you know what we've seen here, and I think a lot of programs, not just in wrestling, but across the board in athletics, are you know, trying to mimic what Penn State is doing with that. I think I know in having a chance to know these guys a little bit the way I do, it's been a big deal for me. It taught me to focus a little bit more on what God gave me to do rather than what I might want to do. Put it that way. I'm a weatherman. That's what I'm supposed to be, a weatherman. Quit being distracted by other stuff, although I still do get distracted. Obviously, if I'm here to talk about the weather, I'm talking about Kale Sanderson Appreciation Day.
Wow.
Which, you know, me and Jess, when we were wrestling Wisconsin, in the Bryce Jordan Center before Christmas one year. And to show you how appreciative we are of this, we were walking around town with billboards, you know, telling people to get to the Bryce Jordan Center because Wisconsin wasn't that great a team. We were worried that we weren't going to sell out the Bryce Jordan Center. And if we're going to wrestle, we got to sell out the Bryce Jordan Center, right? So I was just thinking that, well, I would gladly carry around a Kale Sanderson lollipop just to raise NIL money in appreciation for what Kale and the program means around here. So, but that's what I mean about being distracted. Like, I'm actually thinking about this stuff when I should be thinking about the weather. So I do want to get serious here. Very interesting pattern setting up for the month of May. Okay, we put out a hurricane impact forecast, and it's out there on WeatherBell. If you don't, it's out on our public site. Should be out on our public site today. If you go to CFACT, I blog for them, and I always give them weather updates, so those folks can read about it there. But I've just been absolutely amazed at the fact that New England and Long Island have not been hit by a hurricane since 1991. I mean, that, you know, for all the screaming and yelling about how bad it is in one place, that is a major statistic the other way. So I decided to research this whole thing, and I've discovered that the last six times that hurricanes have hit New England, specifically New England, in the month of May, there is a trough on the eastern seaboard, all right? In the month of May, in other words, the jet stream tends to buckle in the eastern part of the United States. Now, what that means is, for us, May should be normal to below normal temperature-wise here, all right? So we get that trough on the East Coast. But what you have to do is you also have to look at what we call the anti-log. So you have an analog. What years did they hit, all right? What did the pattern look like? Can we find the opposite signal if we look for the opposite thing? Because if it's just, you know, random, it means it's random. Sure enough, since 1992, the month of May has been dominated by ridges of high pressure along the eastern seaboard, not troughs of low pressure along the eastern seaboard. So what this means is, and when you look at, if you go look at our forecast, what we have is less total impact than last year, but still above normal impact. And what I love to look at is what we put out in February, and then when other people put their forecast out, I want to see how close they are. All right? And someone once said to me, yeah, well, one of the people that put out their forecast, they read everything you say. And they came out with a forecast in March. Another one came out in April. But then they look like ours with the numbers. And now I notice that they are taking shots at where they think the storms are going to be, what we call congregation of tracks. But ours this year sort of highlights the eastern seaboard, the area from, let's say, New Orleans up all the way to New England, as opposed to last year we had Brownsville to Cape Hatteras as the area to, that we thought there'd be the most impact. And last year was much, much, much easier to see. Much easier. So we saw that in December, that we call it a hurricane season from hell in December. What we did not get is the total numbers, because what happened was all the action was focused in the Atlantic, in the what we call the main development regions, and we didn't get what we call, I call them ham sandwiches, that they name in the middle of nowhere. Like, look at that. There's a cloud mass near the Azores. It's named, you know, because it has a circulation. I'm not saying they should or shouldn't, but in the satellite era, we've been naming on average 3 to 5 more storms that we would have never seen before. But this year, I think what you're going to see, unlike last year, we had them coming along in the classic fashion. You'd see the African wave come along, and then you track it into the Caribbean and up in the Gulf of Mexico. I think this year what you're most likely to see is development further north and more scattershot. And what I did was I lined up the hurricane season of 95, 96, 95 versus 96, and 98 versus 99. And we noticed that when you get in 95, for instance, you had two what I call congregation of tracks, one in the Gulf, one way out in the Atlantic. You had the same thing last year. But the following year, in 96, the congregation of tracks was between the two, right near the southeast coast. Same thing happened between 98 and 99. And there is some kind of seasonal swing that goes on. What's interesting about this, folks, is if you go read what I do at Weather Bell, you're not going to see any of this anyplace else. Oh, La Nina, El Nino, wind shear, whatever, right? That's all. What we go and do is we go and we line up stuff that you may not see elsewhere. And we do it with the idea with, well, if something happens, at least you can say, well, wait a minute, that was being hinted at before. Say, so this will be an interesting test. I love trying to get out in front and test myself as to how well the weather's going to do based on something. We told you how cold it was going to get in April for a while, that we'd step back, and that was based on the fact that we had a stratospheric warming event in March, and this makes 8 out of 8 that the period April 6th through 15th was well below normal in the eastern part of the United States after a March stratospheric warming event. So, you know, when it was 7 for 7 going into that and we were hitting 74, 75 degrees, the idea was, well, no, it's going to turn much colder. But we're getting to the end of that period, and that's good. And we're going to have a lot of wind, tomorrow into Wednesday and chill. And, you know, I mean, Wednesday probably won't get above 40 degrees and the normal high is near 60. So that's pretty stout. And then we'll be back in the 50s Thursday, 60s Friday, and Saturday. And then Easter Sunday will probably be a nice day, chilly, in the 50s, but a nice day overall. We do have to be concerned that later this afternoon, tonight, one of these thunderstorms that tries to go through here could contain, as the great Elliot Abrams used to say, gutter-gushing rivulets of rain. All right? hail moving down the streets in sheets.
Yes. Well, we will be prepared, you know, thanks to you. In the meantime, Mr. Bastardi, what should we do with that weather?
Well, first of all, let's all get ready for Kale Appreciation Day, but enjoy the weather. And enjoy Penn State wrestling. Both of them are the only thing you got. It's a good thing we got them. God bless you.
Amen. There we go. And thank you. Yeah, Kale's very excited about the idea of having a
I like that idea.
I do, too. I don't think Kale does. We'll be back tomorrow.